Title of today's sermon is My Cup Overflows. And this scripture is one that you've probably never heard before, Psalm 23. However, this is from the contemporary English version, the CEV. So it'll sound like, oh, that's the 23rd Psalm, but I have never heard it like that before. So let's do this together. You, Lord, are my shepherd. I will never be in need. You let me rest in fields of green grass. You lead me to streams of peaceful water, and you refresh my life. You are true to your name, and you lead me along the right paths. I may walk through valleys as dark as death, but I won't be afraid. You are with me, and your shepherd's rod makes me feel safe. You treat me to a feast while my enemies watch. You honor me as your guest, and you fill my cup until it overflows. Your kindness and love will always be with me each day of my life, and I will live forever in your house, Lord. And may the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and of our hearing of it. Amen. In a copy of Guideposts some years ago, the late Dr. William Steiger tells of writing to his boyhood school teacher to thank her for giving him a love for poetry. A few weeks later, this lovely lady wrote to him, and she said, I want you to know, I just wanted to let you know, how much your letter meant to me. She said, I'm an old lady in my 80s, living alone in a small room. I taught for 50 years, yet in all that time, yours is the first letter of appreciation I have ever received. One of the things of great value that my parents ingrained in me as a child was the real blessing of telling people, thank you. And I've tried to pass that on to my children. I hope you've tried to pass that on to your children because that practice has always blessed me. See, I think most of the time that people do give something for you or give you something that is special to them, maybe their motivation really doesn't include, I hope he thanks me for that. But then immediately that giver, upon receiving a thank you, gets the good feeling of, wow, he or she really did like what I've just done. And that's good. So isn't it sad that in her 80s, old school teacher hadn't ever gotten a letter, gotten a note, or probably even a special comment of appreciation from any of her former students? And didn't Dr. Steiger give her a wonderful gift? I'm sad to ask this, but could the absence of putting gratitude into a few words be a characteristic of us as a people in this 21st century? I regret this opinion, but I think I'm noticing it more and more. Never has a people, we Americans, received so much and appreciated it so little. Amen. Never has a land been so favored by God and been so unmindful of the one from whom all blessings flow. Perhaps the time has come in this Thanksgiving season for us to pray the brief prayer of George Herbert, the English poet. He said, Thou hast given so much to me. Give one more thing, a grateful heart. Now, I'm going to ask that you read the Psalms with this in mind. Almost all of the psalmists use their psalms as songs of prayer, communicating with God. And we can hardly read of any of the psalmists, and there were many different psalmists, any of their hymns of praise without hearing them say, "Thanks be to God." This is so true in this 23rd Psalm. David had come into his latter years, and now he was reflecting on his life. With thanksgiving, he exclaimed, "My cup overflows." David's 23rd Psalm, I think I can say without pretty much anyone disagreeing, is pretty much most people's favorite psalm. Because we think of how much God loves us, and because how much He comforts us when we need His loving arms around us, and how much His divine Spirit presence is in us at all times of our lives. That Spirit you were talking about, Sarah. That psalm has been with us and will always be there to nourish us. Now, I've got a lot to say about all of that, far more than these few minutes of worship will permit me to say, and I will have to say that I had a little bit of encouragement as I walked in this morning. One young lady said, "Oh, are you the man of the hour?" And I said, "Well, I think pretty much most folks hope it won't be but a half hour." But anyway, but as we prepare our hearts for the blessing of the Psalms, I want to interject a thought that has hounded me ever since I knew I would be here this morning to lead us through some of these thoughts about why it truly is, as children of our Heavenly Father and brothers and sisters of Christ in this Bosque Dell Fellowship believer, how it is that our cups do indeed overflow. Well, you know, dear friends, that I told you of this church, a year and 5 months ago, that I was going to retire as your pastor. But you have noticed, I think, as I have, that I've had difficulty actually walking away, just not coming back. And I've come to preach as a pastor emeritus and for Sue and I to continue on here as members of Bosque Dell Baptist Church. Just have had a hard time not making that way. And I think maybe I would suggest you might need to take that up with the people of your pastor search committee who keep asking me, "Could you just come for our pulpit next Sunday?" And then I do. But, you know, as I continue this relationship with you, it's not with just some people. I keep reflecting on some vital concerns that I've had all of my official about 19 years as pastor days with you, and thinking of Thanksgiving thoughts that came to the forefront. Well, I have loved, I still love this church, and I'm thankful that God brought me into this family of believers, gave me membership in this family. So I want to ask each of you, I want you to really be listening carefully. Are you a member of this body? Are you a member of this body? And if so, are you thankful to God for having this church here for you? Is your attachment to this church, to these people, to the God of this church, of strong primary importance to you? And I want you to hold on to that thought. I'm going on for now with the 23rd Psalm, but I'm going to come back to that important question later because I want to set the stage for it. But for now, let's put some of that in the context of the blessing and the beauty of King David's Psalm 23. And because you haven't heard it this way very often, I'm going to read it again. "You, Lord, are my shepherd. I will never be in need. You let me rest in fields of green grass. You lead me to streams of peaceful water, and you refresh my life. You are true to your name, and you lead me along the right paths. I may walk through valleys as dark as death, but I won't be afraid. You are with me, and your shepherd's rod makes me feel safe. You treat me to a feast while my enemies watch. You honor me as your guest, and you fill my cup until it overflows. Your kindness and love will always be with me each day of my life, and I will live forever in your house, Lord. See, I chose that contemporary English version for today because we all probably memorized the beautiful psalm in the King James Version. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. We all know it that way. Hopefully, friends, I believe that version is beautiful. But it's so poetic that it may distract our full attention. So I've gone this morning to today's words, a modern translation. And this different version, which says the same thing as that which we memorize, will probably help us pay immediate attention now because of the different words. Go to the middle of it. You fill my cup until it overflows. You see, in the words of the first five verses, David has been building up images of many ways that God has extended his great love to be filling, has already filled, David's own cup to overflowing. Being a shepherd himself, David used his firsthand knowledge of the love of a shepherd for his sheep, a love that was willing to face storms, cold, lonely nights, wild animals, even to risk his life to care for the sheep and provide for their needs. Well, we may not have ever been called on to be a selfless giver of such life-giving love, but we know and are thankful that of such is truly God's love for us. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, Paul encourages us to broaden our vision, praying that we might be able to comprehend what is the height and depth and breadth and length of the love of God for us. And although we cannot fully fathom God's love in all of its dimensions, we can see some of the varied facets of the beauty and limitless extent of God's love. His love is seeking. His love is securing. His love is caring. His love is comforting. His love is seeking. It's a love that seeks. The Good Shepherd himself told us of the shepherd who left the 99 in a place of safety and then scoured the mountainside to find that one sheep that had gone astray. That was a beloved parable in Matthew, the 18th chapter, that was the master teacher's way of saying that we are loved and we are sought out with a profound, never-changing love. He always loves to the utmost, never stops pursuing the lost. It's a love that gives security even as it is overflowing your cup. John chapter 10 gives us this insight. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." And that, my dear brothers and sisters, is the good shepherd's will and the good shepherd's way. Paul, who was never at a loss for words, said the same as the master, and he said it in a few more words, as is characteristic of Brother Paul. He wrote to the Roman Christians of God's secure love. He said, "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 8, 38 and 39. Mm-hmm. I believe, and I know you agree, we need that word for the living of these days. In a world of wars and rumors of wars, a world of chaos and confusion, a world of strife and conflict, we need to know that there is a hand of strength and security on the helm of this ship of life, an omnipotent hand of love. We are God's children, chosen and held securely in His hands of love. And then it says, you fill my cup to overflowing with providential care. I'm sure you recall from memory, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I know, although I've said it many times, I'm not sure I truly understood the what and the why of that verse. Has it ever puzzled you? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Then I read the modernized version. You treat me to a feast while my enemies watch. Yes, they're the outsiders looking with envy on how God loves me. That's what that means. Oh, yes. And you know, we are so often like the prodigal son in the far country. When we have wasted our substance in riotous living and begun to be in want, we sit down in self-pity and we cry and we whine, why has God dealt this way with me? Forgetting we are the ones who left home. We're the ones who left the household of our Father God. Our greed and our pride blind us to the thousand mercies that are ours for the asking. So when he came to himself, the prodigal said, my father has enough and some to spare. I'll arise and go to him. Where do we need to go? Recently, I read in the paper an account of a man who died in a one-room apartment. The few people who knew him said he had lived all of his life basically in, pretty much in poverty. When his room was cleaned, thousands of dollars were discovered hidden away in the dirt and debris. Is this like many of us? Living life in a self-imposed poverty of God's love, when God's heaven's in, divine love, is therefore so much is ours. And my cup is overflowing with sustaining comfort. Again, the psalmist says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of a shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And the CEV reads there, I may walk through valleys as dark as death, but I won't be afraid. You are with me, and your shepherd's rod makes me feel safe. Well, make no mistake about it. The dark valleys and shadows of life are ours. We're not immune as Christians. We cannot claim spiritual immunity from the sorrows and the heartaches of life. But we can find, in the midst of all of this, there is God's presence to sustain. We are never alone, for thou art with me. Paul discovered this when he prayed about a problem he was having, a thorn in the flesh. And he told the Corinthian church, God said, I'll not remove it, but my grace is sufficient for you. Mm-hmm. You can deal with it. My grace is sufficient for you. So did this hymn come to your mind as it did to mine? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our griefs and sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Truly, my cup runneth over with comfort. And my cup overflows with assurance. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, the psalmist wrote. You see, that's what Jesus said in John 14. There are many rooms in my Father's house. I wouldn't tell you this unless it was true. I'm going there to prepare a place for each of you. After I've done this, I will come back and take you with me. Then we will be together. That again is from the contemporary English version. And you know, friends, that's all I need to know to be assured of my forever. Thanks be to God, my cup is overflowing with that. So then what should be our response to all of this? In Psalm 116, the psalmist asks, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" Well, I think we all know that God's word will give us many suggestions as to what we are to render, what our thanksgiving should be. But I want to narrow that down to one idea this morning, a perception I have and I have had for a long time here in this fellowship of believers, this church. And that is, this church needs to get itself together to do this. Early in this morning's message, I put this question to you, and I want you to address this to every member of this church. Notice I said member. Are you a member of this body? And if so, are you thankful to God for having this church here for you? And is your attachment to this church, to these people, to the God of this church, of strong primary importance to you? Well, consider this. I recently asked the acting church clerk to give me some numbers, and she did. How many active members of Boskydale are regularly attending these days? Well, it's pretty close to what's here today. It's 17, 18. The number she gave me was 16. How many active members would be attending now if it weren't for health difficulties? And she came up with a number of 4. I also asked for how many inactives. How many inactive members are on our records? And this figure is necessarily approximate because of some unknowns. But here's the number she gave me. 87. 87. So approximately the number of members, people who at some time were so grateful to God for this church that they wanted to be an official part of it. They wanted to be a member. Adds up to the number of about 107. 107 members of this church God has given so that His love that seeks out every member one by one and secures each one in this life that wants to toss, well, this kind of life that we have that wants to toss us to and fro will be secured by that love overflowing in those lives. A church that God has given so that each member can personally know God's watch care at all times. A church ingrained in the love of God that has comfort each life can have in all circumstances at all times. A church that, because it is God's church, embodies the unparalleled assurance that God is at all times the one who is there now and there for all eternity. So you're representing the membership here. Are you members who are here this morning just full of thanksgiving that God has given this church for you so that you may constantly know His love? And does that make a difference every day for you? Well, of course you do. And that's why you gather together here every week to enjoy with each other God's gift of this fellowship of believers. Your brotherhood and sisterhood of next of kin, His very own children. Well, that's 20 of us. And there's some who are not members here who come here for those same reasons. Well, what about those other 87? What about them? What are they missing? Virtually every week of their lives right now. Is it okay with you that we know where almost every one of them are right now, and that today nobody who is attached to them as a member of this church is reaching out to tell them what you are thanking God for, and they could be too? Now, I don't mean that in a negative way at all. I give you that as a challenge to all of us to get to the first five of those 87 and the next 82 of them and tell them what God has for them right now here in this church body that they can come back to and rejoin as a growing family of the future. All right. You see, I could just sing my heart out to God for His loving gift of this church. It's my thanksgiving to God for this day and forever. And amen.